ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We don't make the Word of God say what we want it to say, because we have no right to do that. We have to rightly divide the Word of God, the truths of God. In fact, rightly divide in the Greek speaks of to cut straight. It was used of a craftsman cutting a straight line or a farmer plowing a straight furrow. You look at the cornfields, right? You can tell how they're planted. I mean, wow, just follow it right along. Could you imagine if he went like this, you know, zigzagging all over the place? It's not straight. And that's how people do with the Word of God. Oh, I'm going to take you over here. We're going to go over here and we're going to put this out there. No. You got to rightly cut the Word of God, rightly divide it. Also, of a mason setting a straight line for bricks. I think the problem today is many times is many make the Bible say what they want it to say. I went to a church years ago where one of the leaders in the church was for abortion. I was a new Christian. I couldn't understand it. I scratched my head. How could that be? It goes against everything that I know, and I'm a young Christian. Maybe I'm missing it. No, I didn't miss it at all. They did. Not rightly dividing the word of truth. In Hebrews 4:12, Paul said, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." This is not just a book. This is the Word of God, and it's living, and it's powerful, and it's able to transform our lives. That's the amazing thing about this. The Spirit of God reveals things to us. I don't know about you. You know, when I'm doing studies, there are times that, yeah, God pierces my heart. When you're here, maybe that's what God's doing with you. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is sharing something with you, and it just pierces your heart and goes, wow, I never thought of it like that. I'm sorry, Lord, I was wrong. That's what God's word does. In fact, Isaiah 55:11 kind of follows this idea. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The only one who could stop the work of God in your life is you, by not listening, by not applying it to your life. Be open to what the Holy Spirit is showing you. Job 23:10 said, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You know, I think for most of us, we've got the physical food down pretty well, right? Especially here at Calvary Chapel. We love to eat. But spiritual food, do we hunger it as much as we do for physical food? We should. We need to build up the inner man. We need to grow. And what God has for us is so important for our lives. You know, I've said this before, but man, you know, you may have read a passage 5, 10, 15, 20 times before. All of a sudden you're reading it, it's all of a sudden, wow, I've never saw that. That is, wow. What happened? The Holy Spirit opened it up to you. In fact, Jesus said about the Word in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Is there absolute truth out there? Absolutely there is. It's called the Word of God. And if you rightly divide the word, you cut it straight, you're not going to be led astray. And we need to take those lessons that God is showing us and apply them to our lives. And it will set us apart from the morality, the lifestyles of the world. We don't want to be conformed to the world. We want to be transformed. Will we stick out? Absolutely. Why do you think the apostles and the followers of Jesus, many were put to death in the early church? Because they stuck out. They were so vastly different than the world, and the world tried to silence them. Did they? No. within 30-some years, the gospel message went out throughout the whole known world without, you know, newspapers and televisions and, you know, Facebook posts and tweets and whatever. I don't even know what a tweet really is, but I know it's out there. That's how old I am. James said in James chapter 1, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Ah, receive God's word into your life. Apply it. Not just the reading, but the application is so important. And we see that with Caleb. He believed the word of God. He applied the word of God to his life, and so must we. Paul was a man who was spirit-filled. He was obedient to the word of God. He lived what he said he believed. And at the end of his life, he said, "Look, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." The guy's in prison, ready to be put to death for his faith in Jesus. And look, I fought the good fight. I know my life's over. I finished this race. I'm heading home. I've kept the faith. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to encourage Timothy to continue on in the work after he's gone. Paul was a man of character. Caleb was a man of character. And we need to be men and women of character. Well, look at Caleb's request starting in Joshua 14, verse 11. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest for more. What did Caleb say? "Give me this mountain over here." Wow. Very specific, right? It wasn't a prayer like, you know, "Lord, save everyone in the world. Amen." We need to be specific in our prayers. Not telling God what to do, but we should be specific, like Caleb was. "I want this mountain right over here." Now, you may be thinking, "Well, I don't want any mountain, man. I don't need that." Well, think of mountains as areas in our lives that are just overwhelming, that are huge, that we don't even know how to tackle. In fact, in Mark 11, Jesus, in verses 22 through 24, answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, yes, people have taken that to unbiblical conclusions, but they do a lot with the Bible that way. What is Jesus talking about here when he speaks about praying for mountains to be removed? Is it a physical mountain? Well, I mean, he's God. It could be, right? But that's not necessarily the point that Jesus is making here. I think, again, the key is those obstacles that are preventing us from doing the things that God wants us to do. And this is not a get whatever you want prayer. The reason I say that is because in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, John put it like this. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." That's why when we pray, we always say, "Lord, your will be done. I know what I want. I know what I'm praying for here in this situation, but Lord, I always want your will to be done, because I know that's the best. It may not be the easiest, but it is the best." And so the first thing we need to do is pray in the will of God. And do we pray for these mountains to be removed from our lives? I think many times we just give up. You know, if we got a headache, we have no problem praying, right? You know, "Lord, just take the headache away." You know, it's going to go away eventually. But what about a terminal illness? What about losing your job? What about your marriage on the rocks? What about on and on and on we can go. There's no way, there's no hope, there's nothing. I just give up. Oh, you could pray with faith for a headache, but now this problem is beyond your grasp and you can't pray. Exactly. It's beyond our grasp. I can't do it. But God never said, Joe, I want you to take care of this. He said, I will take care of it. You need to walk by faith. You need to pray. You need to seek my direction. Prayer is so important in these days we're living in, guys. E.M. Bounds put it like this. The problem that he saw in his day, and he lived from 1835 to 1913. This is what he saw. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. So think about it. Whatever's going on in your life right now, maybe this huge mountain, snow-capped, right? It's huge. Are you praying about it? Are you asking others to come alongside you and pray with you? Because you're not going to move it on your own, through your own efforts, but God can, because he's God. Caleb didn't say, hey, you know what? There's a nice little hill over there. Can I have that one? Give me that mountain. And you know who lived in those mountains? Giants. Okay? I mean, I'm like, you know, give me the little munchkins, okay? Because I'm a giant to them. No, he goes, give me the giants on that mountain over there. He's 85 years old. Wow. Not an easy task from a human perspective. Not a lot of hope from a human perspective. But Caleb knew the Lord. He walked in the Spirit. He trusted in the promises of God. And what God had promised him, he was more than able to bring to pass. And he made the request and he trusted in God. I hope this morning that you are encouraged that those mountains can be removed. And it may not be removed in the way that we think. But God has a plan. He has a purpose in our lives. And can we trust him and walk by faith and lay it at his feet? You know, Paul in Hebrews said, you know, that we can boldly go before his throne of grace. I'm so thankful, Lord. I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't even know how to pray anymore. But I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm just trusting in you. And I just help me to have faith and to know what to do, what to say. 85 years old, talk about a tough dude. I mean, wow. He didn't give up. He wanted to finish the work that God had called him to do, to take this land, even though there were giants living there and fortified cities. One writer put it like this. He was not in his old age and advancing years seeking a soft spot or comfortable little corner of the country to settle in. No, no, no. Instead, the tough, grizzled old war horse was prepared to take a whole rugged mountain range for himself. It was the stronghold of the sons of the ferocious giants of the Anakin. He was not a man to shrivel up in fear at this late stage of his life. Give me this mountain, he exclaimed in an outburst of triumph. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. When we pray, guys, may we be specific in our prayers. Again, not telling God what to do, but be specific. You know what you want to pray for. And Caleb's prayer was a great prayer. Give me the hill, give me the mountain with the giants. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord said, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Wow. That's an invitation, isn't it? The Lord said, hey, you know what? I don't want to be bothered with you. You know, if you got something to say, speak to Gabriel. No, he said, call to me and I'm going to answer you. And you know what? I'm not just going to answer you. I'm going to show you mighty things, great things. You can't even imagine what I'm going to do. Are we calling to him? Are we trusting in him? God wants to do great things in us and through us, but we need to call to him. We need to ask him, and we will see the salvation that he'll bring to the situations that we face in our lives. And the key is always that it has to be based upon the word of God. You can't ask God to do something that is contrary to his word. When Caleb asked the Lord for this mountain to be removed, it was according to what the Lord said to Caleb. Deuteronomy 1:36. Except Caleb, the Lord said, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. Now Caleb is just acting on the promise that the Lord had given to him. What about family members that aren't saved? Oh, they're never going to get saved. I don't know. Did God die? Trust in him. Just keep praying for them. God doesn't desire any to perish, that all would come to saving faith. He won't force anyone. But don't give up, because that's just what the enemy wants you to do. He doesn't want to see people saved. He wants to see them go to hell with him. Don't give up. Trust in him and his promises. And Caleb was fearless. And I like that. You know, before they entered the land, the Lord spoke to the children of Israel. And this is what he said in Deuteronomy 9, verses 1 through 3. He said, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim whom you know, and of whom you heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said to you." What I like here is that the Lord starts out and says, you know what? You're going into a land where, man, these guys are bigger, stronger, mightier than you, cities that are fortified. These people are great and tall. They're descendants of Anakim, the giant. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That's how he starts out. I'm thinking, how are we going to win? You just told me that these guys are better than me. That would be like me trying to play professional football. You might as well call 911 right away. That's what the Lord is telling them here. You guys, this is bad. Who could stand before these guys? They're giants. Listen to what he says. "Therefore, understand that today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said to you." Wow. There's the victory. Not in me. What do I have to do? I have to walk by faith. I have to trust in the Lord and walk by faith and see the victory that he's going to give me in this situation. You know, I read that and I go, Lord, do you have anything besides those areas where the giants are, man? Fortified cities. You know, maybe just a couple people living in tents would be nice to go and attack. But no, the Lord says, this is what you have to do. But remember, I'm going in before you. I'm a consuming fire. I'm going to wipe them out. But you have to walk by faith. That's the perspective we need to have. God promised them this land. He was going to give it to them, but they had to walk. And so do we, by faith. That's what Caleb's doing. And he was fearless. Another point we need to put into practice that we see in the life of Caleb is that he was confident. And I'm not saying that he was confident in what he could do. He was confident in the Lord and what the Lord could do in his life and through his life to move the mountain that was before him. You know, when I first came up here to Manitowoc, I was confident in what the Lord told me. I knew he was going to bring me to Wisconsin because he told me that. But when I first came up here to teach, and I told the elders, look, let me teach for 4 Sundays. You pray about it. I'll pray about it. Let's see if this is what the Lord wants. I knew that first Sunday when I taught up here that this is where the Lord had called me to be pastor. And in knowing that, in knowing what the Lord had told me, I had confidence, and I've had confidence for these last 24 years to continue on in the work, even though there's so much opposition to the work. I do need to be reminded from time to time when there's a lot of opposition, it's because the enemy doesn't want you to move forward. Just the reality. But I know what God promised me. So because obstacles are in my way, does it stop me? No. It gives me confidence that I'm going to have to bring it before the Lord and trust in Him and see the salvation that He's going to bring to the situation I find myself in. In Joshua 14:12, we're again told, "Now therefore give me this mountain on which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord had said." Basically, what Caleb is saying is, look, I'm going to walk by faith and see the salvation that the Lord is going to bring to this situation. How He's going to remove those mountains, remove those giants, give me this land that God had promised. Steps of faith. And lastly, Caleb was humble. He wasn't proud in his accomplishments, but he was proud in what the Lord had done in his life, how the Lord had preserved him all these years. He said, "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." It reminds me of what James said in James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Pride will bring you down. If you think that God can't survive without you, you're in trouble. But praise God that He uses people like us to bring glory and honor to Him and to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world. You humble yourself before God, He will lift you up. And really, the conclusion is simple in verses 13 through 15 here in Joshua 14. "And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war." God gave Caleb this victory and removed that mountain in his life, just as He wants to do in our life, if we let Him. May we be men and women of good character. May we be men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God. May we be men and women who are specific with our prayers before God. May we be men and women who pray great prayers. May we be men and women whose prayers are based upon the Word of God. May we be men and women who are fearless. Oh, in these days we need to be, guys. May we be men and women who are confident, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. And may we be men and women who are humble, realizing here we are just by the grace of God, not because we're so special, but because He is. What mountains do you want God to move in your life? Have you given those mountains to Him? Have you laid them at His feet and said, "Lord, this is what's going on"? Because you need to. And again, character is so important in our lives. And as the things of God fill our lives, as we dig into God's Word, as we surrender to the Spirit, godly character will flow from our lives, as we see here with Caleb. And I'll close with these words from Warren Wiersbe. He wrote this: "We are never too old to make new conquests of faith in the power of the Lord. Like Caleb, we can capture mountains and conquer giants if we wholly follow the Lord. No matter how old we become, we must never retire from trusting and serving the Lord." Amen to that, right? I want to finish the race strong. Jesus said, "Occupy until I come." Continue doing the work until He comes back for His bride, the church, until we go home to be with Him, whatever comes first. Serve the Lord fully. Be men and women of good character, because people are looking at you. And I'll tell you, if you have a wishy-washy faith, who wants that? But boy, if you have a faith that is wholly committed to God, people are going to watch that. They may not agree with it. They may say things that are not very nice, but they'll see that you are wholly committed to God. And you never know when God's going to touch their heart because of how you shined before them. Never give up. I don't care if you're 20 years old or 120. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this example, this godly man, this man who truly trusted in You and lived out his faith. And help us to be men and women who are like that, Lord. Just trusting in You, living for You, and people see that. that we don't have a secular worldview, but we have a biblical worldview, and we're ready to stand upon the things we believe in, not compromising our faith, but, Lord, living totally for you, Lord, shining for you, that we may draw others into that saving faith. Thank you for being our God. And, Lord, for any who are struggling here this morning, who may have huge mountains going on in their lives that are so overwhelming, that, Lord, they'd be able to lay them at your feet, receive your refreshing spirit, and trust that you will take care of those mountains. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.